Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time now for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest today, Dr. Wilton Helliger of Incarnate Word Lutheran Church in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Pastor Helliger, welcome back to His Time.
Thank you, Andy.
Looking forward to studying God's Word together again today. Tell us about your congregation, Incarnate Word Lutheran Church in Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Well, we are a very small congregation in Stone Mountain. We worship an average of about 30 on a Sunday morning. Our congregation members come from the Caribbean and Africa and African Americans, but it's open to all. We started with a Bible study a few years back, and we share a building with another congregation on Howell Mill Road in Stone Mountain, Georgia. We are an outreach-orientated church. We work in the community with our local schools. We have a partnership with the elementary school next door to us, and we also have an outreach in Kenya. And members of our congregation are planning to go visit in Oyugis, that is in southern Kenya, next May.
Well, thanks be to God for Incarnate Word Lutheran Church in Stone Mountain, Georgia. We are studying Matthew chapter 24 today, verses 29 through 51. Dr. Helliger, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
Well, what is important is what came before the text in chapter 24. This is, we are in the season of the church year, in which we call the end times. And Jesus is talking about the end times. He was with his disciples at the temple, and they drew his attention to its grandeur, its size, its beauty. And he told them, listen, all of this is going to pass away sometime. This will be reduced to rubble. And of course, they were more or less curious as to how and why that would happen, because it seems that this temple was so much of an anchor there, something that seems irremovable, unchangeable, and yet Jesus says, this too will pass. That not only that would pass, but the whole earth would pass away. And so the question then to his from his disciples is, when would this happen? When would this happen? When would this temple be destroyed? They were looking at it more as something that is more immediate, because he says, you know, I say to you that this generation will not pass until these things are accomplished. So it has to be in their lifetime. But Jesus was looking beyond that situation of the temple being destroyed, and the temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. So the focus of this Matthew 24 is about what we always proclaim in the gospel, that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. And what we should be focusing on is not when he is going to come again, because we know he will come again, but we should be focused on being ready and waiting for his return, whenever that might be.
Let's take a look at the text, Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. Back to verse 29. What do we have here, Pastor?
This would be, we're looking at the end time again. The sun being darkened, it reminds us of Good Friday, when Christ died on the cross, and everything became dark, and we are told that the spirits of the dead were up and walking in the streets. It is another Good Friday experience in a sense. And Good Friday, not well, in the sense that it's good because Jesus is showing that he is Lord and he is King and he's conquered even death. And he is bringing back his people from the dead. Every one who has died in Christ is about to be resurrected. That's what's happening there.
Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
Not everybody would be mourning. The mourning would be those who rejected him, those who, despite the preaching of the gospel, refused to accept him as Savior, refused to recognize him as Savior, even though he calls them to repentance. They refuse, and then they realize that it's too late. The scripture says every knee would bow and confess that he is Lord at that time. Even those who rejected him today, even those who would say, well, I don't believe, when he appears, they would understand and they would believe that he is Lord. But for those who rejected him, it would be too late.
And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
Earlier in this chapter, Jesus spoke of the tribulations when the people of God will be persecuted. I mean, persecution that we've never seen or heard about. It will be harsh. But Jesus said that he will shorten the day for the sake of his elect. That is, this is God's mercy. He would not let us, as his people, suffer more than we can bear. Whatever is the suffering, we would be able to withstand it. And when we have suffered enough, he in his mercy would put an end to history. And he would gather us up, no matter where we are, from every tribe, every nation, every part of the world, whatever social, political, economic, cultural situation we are in, those who believe will be caught up. He will rescue. to us. It's a promise, and it's a comforting one, particularly in these days when at times we as Christians feel that, yeah, we are in a day of tribulations. There are things that are happening that is not really good for us as a church body, even as individuals. The world seems to be turning against us. We are in what is sometimes called the post-Christian era, and that is that we are marginalized. I don't think this is the particular tribulation, because particularly those of us who are living in America, we're still free. There are brothers and sisters, however, in other parts of the world who are really suffering for the gospels. Some people who are actually dying for the proclamation of the gospel. So for them, I would think that they understand this notion of the tribulations. They have already been through it. And for those who have died, they have already been through their tribulations.
Let's take a look at verses 32 through 35. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that the summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So from the fig tree, learn its lesson. As its branch becomes tender and pushes out leaves, you know summer is near.
Well, the most important verse there is the one that says, heaven and earth will pass away. That's verse 36. But my words will never pass away. It's Christ's assurance that he is going to be faithful to the end, that he never changes. He is yesterday, today, and forever the same. Yesterday he loved us. Today he loves us. Tomorrow he would continue to love us. And so that while we live in a world and we see the signs that we are in the end times, the signs of corruption, the signs of evil around us, those who despise the church and even feel that it's just cool, it's just good to publicly try to shame and humiliate us for the way for our beliefs in Christ and our faithfulness to the gospel, our faithfulness to the scriptures. We are confident. We should be confident that God's word doesn't change. It doesn't change with the culture. It doesn't change with the time. His love doesn't change. It doesn't change with the culture. It doesn't change with the time. It is forever. What he says, he will do. His mercy is forever. But his justice is also forever. And so even if we live in a world in which we feel that there is no justice or mercy for us, we know that God loves us and that he will, in his own time, institute a reign of justice and mercy for all.
Verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This is a familiar theme that we hear going back to Isaiah 40 Isaiah chapter 40, verses 7 and 8, the grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. God's word remains forever.
That's right. That's right. And there are people even within the church try to change God's word, try to say God didn't say this, try to give, I guess, new interpretations to God's word. But God's word is consistent. You know, we believe that scripture interprets scripture. So even in terms of interpretation, it is not a question of the individual interpretation. It's what the scripture says about the scriptures.
We're studying the daily.
And we're sure that we are on the right track when we cross-reference the scripture rather than picking and choosing the parts of it, of God's word that is convenient for us and interpreted in ways that is just convenient for us to continue doing what we're doing, which is sinning.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary with Dr. Wilton Heliger of Incarnate Word Lutheran Church in Stone Mountain, Georgia. We're in Matthew chapter 24 today. If you have a question or a comment, you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll take a look at verses 36 and following. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
KFUO embracing today's technologies to bring the good news message of Christ to the world. Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth or sync up to listen in your car while driving anywhere. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org. On the air, online, and on demand, the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
After reading a thoughtful book, or even part of it, do we not many times want to tell someone else what we've read? Do we not many times wish we could do this with the author? This is exactly what we do on Book Talk, Fridays at 2 p.m., streaming online and archived thereafter for your 24/7 consumption.
Friday afternoon at 2 on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the Daily Lectionary. We are in Matthew chapter 24 today, verses 29 through 51. Our guest today, Dr. Wilton Heliger of Incarnate Word Lutheran Church in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Pastor, are we ready to pick up at verse 36?
Yeah.
All right. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Will we know the hour, the day, that the Son? Yes?
No, sir. And if you live long enough, you've heard of all of you've heard of many people saying, oh, Jesus is going to return on such and such a date. And they make ready. I even had relatives of mine a few years back belong to some kind of a group that says Jesus was coming back, and they all sold their belongings and all of that and gathered out in Staten Island somewhere to see when he is going to return. But we do not know. I mean, a clear sign that you're listening to a false prophet is when someone tells you that they know, because God's word makes it real clear. No one knows. Even at that time, Jesus himself said he did not know.
For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. What will that coming of the Son of Man be like?
Well, here in the day of Noah, God told Noah that, you know, wickedness had gotten so much that he have to destroy the world, and instructed him to build the ark. But he also instructed Noah to go out and to preach the gospel, to tell people, to ask people to repent before it's too late. But people just went about their daily lives being ignoring this call to repentance. They acted as if nothing would happen. They did not believe. They just went about doing whatever they were doing. I mean, it's normal to eat. It's normal to drink. It's normal to get married. That's what we do in society. And our society has been taken over by what's the normal. I mean, we've become materialistic. We look at it's all about taking care of our carnal needs, our earthly, fleshly needs, without any consideration to the to our spiritual needs. And that is what is. That it would be the state of affairs when Jesus comes back. We would be going about doing what we are doing, and suddenly, without warning. Well, we've been warned, but it's not like something is going to happen that shows us exactly step one, step two, step three. He will come, and the scripture says, and Michael, the archangels would declare the end of history. And they that dwell in the dust shall rise up. It will all be very sudden when he comes back and put an end to history. That's it. And so as we would read further on, our responsibility as Christians is to be prepared and to keep our guard.
Verse 40, then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. It sounds like a warning. What does this stay awake, be ready mean?
Well, here we have the piece about two people in the bed, one taken and one left, and all of that. This is the great separation. Later on in Matthew, Jesus says, and he will separate the sheep from the goat. Okay? And that is those who believe from those who do not believe will be separated. But he says to us to keep watch. Keep watch in the sense of of staying awake, but even more important, in the sense of being on our guard. Being on our guard, because this is the time when people, when Satan would use other people to try to distract us, to try to get us to look the other way. This is the time when false doctrines will be preached. And people who are in the church will be deceived by all sorts of false prophets. And that is what we have to keep, one of the things we have to keep guard against. So we have to be on our guard. We have to be awake, not just keeping our eyes open, but being careful that we are not led astray, being careful that we are doing the things that God has called us to do. So the two things that we have to do is, one, to be on our guard, and two, to be ready. And to be ready means that we must be doing whatever God has called us to do.
Verse 45, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing so when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow.
Yep. A lot of Christians think that they are saved just for themselves. They have no duties. They have no responsibilities. But that's not what the scripture says, or that's not what is what Jesus implies. We're here as servants. We can be good servants, or we can be bad servants. What a good servant is, one that does what the master wants him to do. And what does the master want us to do? The master wants each and every one of us to live lives which are witness to him. We learned that from in 1 Peter 2:9, that we are called to declare the praises of him who called us out of our darkness into his marvelous light. And that is what a good servant does by our very life. Even in the mundane things that we do on a daily basis, to show God's love to others, to share his word, to tell of his saving grace, to tell of his mercies. If we are doing that all the time, guess what? We will also be awake, because we have to be awake to do that. We'll also be on our guard. As we serve others, we serve ourselves spiritually by being on our guard, by being ready, by being awake, so that when the master returns, and for some of us, we will be called, we would go to meet our master before he comes and puts an end to history. So however it is, whether we go to meet him or he comes to meet us, we would be ready. Now, the evil servant, the wicked servant, just ignores that, says, you know, why should I bother with doing what God wants me to do? Why should I bother about proclaiming God's word? One, the master, Jesus might never return, or at least he isn't coming anytime soon. So I've got time to do what I need to do, and that is to have a good time, to live my life for myself, or and maybe for those who we choose to live it with, instead of living lives worthy of being called Christians.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, as we wrap up, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text?
Essentially, that God, Jesus loves us. And even though we live in a world that may not accept us as Christians, may reject who we are because of who we belong to and the life we live, that he is going to stand by us, and he will rescue us in the end. We would never really have to suffer. Not that we really wouldn't have to suffer, but whatever our suffering, he is going to come and bring relief to us. And that he, in the end, will establish his justice and his mercy on this earth. So it doesn't matter what is happening in the world. You know, today is election day, and the stakes are high for this country and higher for the church. But whatever the outcome, we are assured by Jesus that the church is built on him, and no council of this world will prevail against it. Our Lord assures us that he will return one day and he will right every wrong. He assures us that in the midst of our trials and tribulation, he will rescue us. He will save his church, that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and will come again, either as our smiling Savior or as our ultimate judge. And so he bids us to stay awake, to watch, to be on our guard, and to be ready.
There is an election greater than this presidential election. That is the elect, those who are called in Christ Jesus, who are called by him, who are chosen by him. And
That's right.
And that is, to be called by God in Christ Jesus is good news. And therefore, knowing that the Son of Man is coming, even when we don't know the hour, is good news for those who are chosen in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Wilton Heliger, Incarnate Word Lutheran Church in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Pastor Heliger, thanks for being our guest today, helping us study in Matthew chapter 24.
Thank you very much, Andy.
God bless you and the saints at Incarnate Word Lutheran Church in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Sacred music on the way here on Worldwide KFUO.